Into Philippians tonight, and once again back to this precious letter. I believe, have been so graced, maybe in another layer of a vision of this, and getting down to the love of God and the love of God in the heart of the Apostle Paul and his care for the saints. And as we're encouraged in our walk, that we follow Paul as he followed Christ. And we're thankful that we know this is nothing of ourselves. This can't be worked except by His Spirit. This has to be worked through the word of His grace. Our life, it says that we speak or live the life of truth in love. I love that. And I think this is manifest here, that we see this precious letter. And Paul wrote different letters to different churches. But we can see in each letter, we know it's the word of God. It's the word of God. But the word of God so richly was sent. And when God sends it to someone or something, let me tell you something, it'll perform in that where he sent it. It's going to work the work that the Lord has intended for it to work. These Philadelphia saints, if you will, in Philippi that received this letter, there was a very divine purpose that they received this letter, to encourage them. And they encourage them in the height of what the Lord is after in this church age. And he's looking for a bride. And he's going to have one. And we see that that calling is there. But we're also very aware that most will not receive this. Very few will. We see in the letters that were written to Corinth, Galatia, there are a lot of different things in those wonderful letters. They're things that are very purposeful for us. We understand we need the whole counsel of God. But I'm thankful that I see a light in this, that this letter that was written to this church of Philippi, these saints panted after the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. They wanted that. They had a desire. There was fellowship with Brother Paul that was at a height beyond really any other church. We're going to find that out tonight, I believe, in one precious verse. It's a verse that I believe tonight we'll see, which is maybe the height, if you will, the climax, the pinnacle of the love of Christ in the Apostle Paul's heart in many respects, as he will make this known, what's going on in his heart tonight. And it doesn't take long to receive this passion. And I'm talking about the passion to the bridal saints specifically that's in the heart of the Apostle Paul. So let's go ahead and read verse 1 in chapter 4 of that precious letter to the Philippians. It says here, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." Read that one more time with me. "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." Now, there is no doubt that these, if you really have studied the Word of God at all, these are some very most precious saints to the Apostle Paul. No other group, no other church that he wrote a letter to is addressed with such intimate words. And if you really listen to those words, it's love language. It's very deep love language. And if you really just looked at those words in a sense, you would almost think that these were the words that were spoken between a husband and a wife. When you're speaking, "dearly beloved, longed for, my joy, my crown," those are very impactful, very precise words of love and very much heart love. And I want you to understand this is the exact heart attitude with the Apostle Paul with these brethren. And I think it's very evident that if someone's speaking to you that way, I'm going to ask you this. I mean, really, I thank God I know a lot of Christians. I have a lot of wonderful family in the Word of God. I don't think I would approach every Christian in that same way of words. I don't think necessarily I would approach, and they might not feel comfortable if I gave them a hug or a holy kiss or something of that nature. And I'm not just saying just because of our actions, this is the follow through of what this would be in our heart, but I think a lot of times it is. How can you not greet your brother or sister in the Lord? How could you not want to be with them and around them? But more so with what Paul is saying here, it's not just with or around. You're my dearly beloved. You're my longed for. You're my joy. You're my crown. Dearly beloved. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. This fellowship is settled down in marriage with one another. This is where you begin to dwell. This is the love, if you will, between brethren that exceeded all others, because this is first love fellowship. This is when you enter into fellowship of first love. As we've been studying and the Lord has encouraged us, Jesus Christ is the head and he has a body. Praise God. And we're so thankful. And it's one. And we're one in him. And the word of God tells us there should be no dissimulation in that love. We know that the love all comes from him and all from the head. But as we truly grow in that love of Christ, we grow to love the body of Christ the same. And it is true. And I thank the Lord because it is Christ in us that we love. Now, dearly beloved is an extreme statement. I appreciated a sister that I had mentioned I was going to speak on this. She came into my office, and I'm so thankful to God for the ministering saints. It's mighty. She said, "Oh, brother," and she had all this list of all the times beloved had been said in the Word of God, and then my beloved, and then my dearly beloved, and all of these different things. And it was just so precious because as you took those numbers, and numbers mean something, and how many there are in the Word of God and different things, it was so precise and so exact and so perfect. But just a few of them, I love this. She said, and it is, dearly beloved is mentioned 20 times in Scripture. That's the number for redemption. And, you know, that flashes back to Boaz and the story of, you know, again, dearly beloved all began, if you will, from our Redeemer. Amen. That's how it all started, that wonderful blood. And we're thankful how he loves. But then, if you go on from that, my dearly beloved, if you will, is only 4 times in the Word of God. But tonight, in what we're looking at, my brethren, dearly beloved, is only 1 time in the Word of God. And brothers and sisters, I think by the grace of God, God has brought us there. I thank God that we have that grace with one another. I do. And I know he's working that in us. I know that God has brought us to another plane of love. That's what's working effectually in the meeting. I know that that's what's taking the teachers on in this place. The ministering vessels, all of us, we're receiving it. There's a supplying that's going on for those that'll want to enter in that's causing ones to break forth into sun glory. And we're seeing it. We know that's that not anything of us or our doing, but we know it's only the grace of God that's with us. We also know that as you preach the word of his grace and stay in it, it's what's going to happen. Just like with these Philippian saints. Remember as we started, from the first day until now, you stayed with Paul's gospel. You didn't vary from it. You didn't drift from it. This is what you stayed with. This is what you loved. This is what, again, you stood with. And thanks be to God, this is the evidence. This is what comes forth, those that are all pleasing to him. Now, it just gets even more exciting because this is very personal. Because Paul is saying truly here, you're my favorite. Not that Paul is playing favorites, but these are the first love saints. He loved all the saints, but the capacity of love shared between these saints was the height. This was the longing for them. This is why he said, I long for you. And brothers and sisters, that's the next exciting part we have As it says here, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for. Things mean things in the Word of God. Words are very, very specific. And sometimes it would be great to have all these big screens and to be able to look out the definitions and all of those things. But you know what? That's never going to get it done. What's going to get it done is by faith and by hearing the Word of God. And this word longed for, once again, is another one of those that's only found one time in the Word of God. This word in the Greek is found one time. It's the most intense form of desire. It means to pursue with passion, with love. Paul wrote this to those that loved this gospel. He wrote this to those that were in love with this gospel. This word, if you will, even is from a root which means forbidden desire. It's so passionate. Now I want you to think about that for a minute. Doesn't that maybe bring to light a little bit more of why we have the Song of Solomon? Why we have such intimate detail of the courtship between the Shulamite and the bridegroom? Do you see these things? They weren't just written in isolation. This word of God is one, because it's our precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's one message, and it's a beautiful message of love. It speaks to different companies of people. It speaks to different times. I understand that. But it's one message, and it's the message of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I thank God, as it tells us throughout Paul's writings, it says this was something that was hidden. This was something that was not made known unto the sons of men nor the prophets. We rejoice and we get excited because the Word of God tells us they wrote those things for us. How beautiful. Once again, how intimate. There was something that the Lord obviously was thinking of before he ever set a star in heaven. Can you imagine that? He was thinking of his wife. All that beautiful, perfect plan of God would come forth through one thing, the Word of God. The message, the proposal, everything would come forth from the Word. The beautiful thing is he knows our hearts. He knows each and every one of us intimately. And God has a perfect plan. There was a perfect time and place for Moses. There was a perfect time and place for Jacob. There was a perfect time and place for Esau. And there's a perfect time and place for Scott and Lynn and Bob and Debbie. And on and on and on. And here we are, and here we sit, and by the grace of God, as it says in Hebrews, we have a better thing. We have the part, praise God, that was offered to Mary. And Mary, by the grace of God, didn't even realize what she was getting. But it was because love drew her. It drew her to the feet of Jesus. It was the place of the anointing. It was the place of worship. It was the place of love. And as we rejoiced a couple weeks ago, it was the very place, if you will, of the body of Christ. Thanking the Lord. There's so much type and shadow in the Word of God. I pray we receive this. I pray we see here that, brothers and sisters, this long for, this, if you will, this height of desire, this, if you will, forbidden desire is a passion such as Ruth. Who would have done the things that Ruth would have done? If you would read that alone and what she did, that's an unseemly woman. How could she go into some stranger's bed at night? It's amazing where grace will take you. It's amazing where the Word of God will place you. It's perfect timing. It's perfect love. You think about even Jonathan and David and their love for one another. As it said, it exceeded the love of a man and a woman. See, what this is getting at here, brothers and sisters, this is beyond human knowledge. And it was so sweet again. Every time I've been thinking about this week, I was thinking about what my son said to me about how he loves you and how you love him. He says, you know, Dad, it doesn't even make sense. Why me? I'm 22. I got a job. It's all at my fingertips. Here I go. And yet, there's something about the love that I have for the people here that I can't explain. And it doesn't make sense. I said, well, honey, it'll never make sense because it's just what Jesus does. It's just what the Lord does. And as we grow in it, this is the, you know, speaking and hearing the Word of God and chewing on the Word of God. There's nothing more satisfying. There's nothing, in a sense, that is more, all because of the grace of God, that's received, that gets our attention, that brings us into a focus that nothing else does. That this is who we are, and this is, by the grace of God, what we're called to. Now think of this. As we receive this, and this longed for, as he says, this intense desire, we're right back a couple weeks ago on that Sunday, how Christ loves his body. And I pray that God will, and I know he will, but that we'll allow God to lead us into that love more and more. And think of this. This began because as we started to study this precious letter, if you will, why was it these saints? Because Paul said right there in the 7th verse of chapter 1, ye all are partakers of my grace. What a profound statement. You think of how many profound statements that Paul never said anywhere else in the Word of God except in here. We know this is the Spirit. We know this is the Word of God. But once again, to place ourselves as these Philippi saints, and that is true, these Philippian saints, the Philadelphia saints, if you will, in Denver, all by the grace of God, receiving this letter because Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. This wonderful word is the only thing that will be forever. It'll never end. And we thank God this is this wonderful proposal that comes to us today. Now, you would think, well, if this wouldn't be enough, Paul goes on. He really wants these brethren to know what they mean to him. And really here, they mean everything. Because the next thing he says, my joy and crown. Let me ask you something. If you were describing something in your life as your joy and your crown, would that not be the ultimate? Would that not be the trophy of trophies? I mean, joy, you know, you might be able to throw your kids in there, at least after they're teenagers. But then you're talking crown. I think we move to a different thing when we're talking my joy, my crown. I was grateful to God because you think of Paul saying this. He's writing this from a prison. He's writing this from prison, and yet this overwhelming love, this joy, because this is the joy book of the Bible, as it's called, is flooding his soul. It's not about the environment. It's not about the situation. It's not about the circumstances. It's about the reality of the Word of God. And especially the reality of the Word of God in his brethren. In those that he loves and he longs for. He desires in passion. In his heart. Hoping to be with, obviously. But yet more importantly, I am one with you. I share this with you. This is what we have together. We're already seated over there. But yet in this gospel, we're not just seated over there. We see we're seated over there as one. And by the grace of God, that seat that he has appointed for us, if we'll take it, is that seat one with him, glorified together with him. Amen. Now, my joy, my crown. It's like he's saying here, the substance of things hoped for. I see it. All the preaching and the teaching the message that you've given me. Oh Lord, I've planted and watered, and you have given the increase. The evidence of the preaching of the bridal gospel. This is why Paul longed for while he's in prison at the very end. I love you. Isn't that beautiful? He's not thinking of his situation. He's not thinking of his circumstance. Now, from this letter, he gets out for a while and he'll write one more time in another prison. And that will be it. But we're thankful to God, again, that this wasn't this ending he was ever thinking of. It was always love. I recently sat this past week at a table with a precious brother. And it was very sweet. With tears in his eyes, he was expressing, and I just have to tell you this because it was so precious to my heart. I am thankful for this precious man. But with tears in his eyes, he was expressing how thankful the love that we shared, the love that I had for him. And it was very sweet because he ministered to me the knowledge of my heart. And he said to me these words. He says, you know, I know it's love that holds you as my pastor. I said, absolutely. I said, I can't tell you the thousands of times, honestly, that the enemy or different things or, and sometimes I can be my enemy, you know how that can work, you know. But I'm going to get out of here, I'm going to flee. But the thing that always healed it was this flooding of love from the Lord. And by the grace of God, the love that we have for one another, where else am I going to go? Where else am I going to go? What else do I want to do, Bob? What else do I want to be? I just want to be ready. I'm not worried about being. I just want to be ready. Now, you think about this, but listen to this truth. If you are truly in love with Christ Jesus as your bridegroom, you are in love with brethren that are in love with him too. And you are. That love is the same. You'll long to be with them. You'll have an insatiable desire to gather with them. You'll want to hear the word of God with them. You'll want to rejoice with them. You'll want to pray with them. You'll want to worship with them. And it's all because you are in love with Christ in one another, the hope of glory. I believe that sincerely is maybe the height of the message of those that love his appearing. As I've said many times, what Christian would I ever meet that wouldn't want to love the appearing of the Lord? But that's not what that's saying. We're talking about the appearing of the Lord in his people. How about the appearing of the Lord even in the lion's den or in the furnace? You know, that's where he appears, don't you? You willing to go there? You see how that appearing of the Lord is so wonderful? And really what that is, I'll tell you what, that's a life, brothers and sisters, that will suffer together with him. Because we know where he appears, it's not necessarily going to be something that's going to be appealing to man. But you go on here and you think about that, my joy, my crown. Once again, he doesn't say this to the church of Corinth. He said a lot of things to the church of Corinth, but he sure didn't say that. He didn't say it to the church of Galatia either, did he? If you think about this as well too, even as it speaks in the word of God about God speaking of his children, he doesn't call his children his joy, his crown. This is different. This is something more. This is his glory. We're thankful that we see that the joy is the heart of our Lord. We receive in the word of God that the joy that was set before him, that he endured the cross, we know that that is us. We know that that's that great love that he has for us. And yes, praise God, his crown, his glory, that's what he's seeing there. As the word of God tells us, he cannot and he will not take his throne from the Father till he has his wife. He will not take that place. He is waiting for his true crowning. He is waiting for his wife. And brothers and sisters, this love is in those that are like Paul. We're not selfish. By the grace of God, we want everyone to win God's best. Now, that doesn't mean I sit out there on a soapbox. No. I'm talking about those that are staying with the stuff. That we come in here, and it's a little band, but we lift up one another's hands. The spiritual brothers and sisters, they restore. By the grace of God, that's all we want is this fellowship. This is what we settle down in, is love. Now, isn't it wonderful what the Word of God in one another can do when it's fully grown up in saints, and how it can add to the joints of the body? Think of how we add to one another. Think of what the Lord has done by the grace of God. Think of your sweet families. I mean, I look at my two sisters here. As Sister Irma, by the grace of God, laid hold of the deeper things of God. Knowing that you'd want to preach this to everybody. I know you, honey. Same with me. But the Lord gave you one. A kooky mom. She was the only one that was going to go. But who knows who else? But you saw something there, didn't you, Sister Gwen? There was more. Yeah. That's how the Lord does it. But then that's supplying. And how rich it is. And I can just, I speak of, and it's in all of us, and it's not to point out or magnify the vessel, but it's just like, I think about my sweet brother Bob, in his plane. I know that's the Holy Ghost playing through him, but think of the abundance of what's playing. Brother Scott, Brother Ty, the ones that bring forth the Word of God, Brother David, Sister Yvonne, Sister May, all of these ones, and by the grace of God, but I know it's in everyone. It's because we're fallen in love. It wasn't because we study any harder. It's not, is it, brother? I could study till I wore out my eyes. The thing I better do is pray till I wear out my knees. Okay. Now, that's why we know the fullness of God is growing in this place, is because our love one for another. It's not because achievement tests, a degree, an award. It's love. It's what it is. And I thank the Lord for it. It's not something that's superficial. It's love in the truth. Amen? We thank God for this. This is why the evidence was there that they knew that they were Christians, because they loved one another. But this desire, this longing for one another, to finish with a full joy. And brothers and sisters, it is essential for the body to run on. It is essential by the grace of God for each and every one of us to supply every joint of the little rib portion. And we all do. Every one of us. Every one of us. And it doesn't matter what battle we're in. He's got us here tonight. He has us here on Sundays. He has us here on Fridays. And we all come in here with different things. We all have different problems. Each week we might even have a different issue. Can you imagine? We might not even always come in here singing on the top of a mountain. I might come in here and I think, man, where is my faith? And then the Lord reminds me, well, it was yours to begin with, wasn't it, Lord? Amen. This is why it's essential. You need to come in here anyway you can. You don't realize that. Someone looks at someone and say, oh, I can't believe that person's in here looking like that or whatever. God forbid. I thank the Lord how he protects this place. People don't come in here and rowdy it up. That's God's doing. There's something that the Lord graces us with here. He drew you in here to hear the word of God. I don't care if you're indifferent. I don't care if you reek of the world. I'll tell you one thing. I want you to hear the gospel of Christ. Amen. I can't tell you how burdened I was to read us some things today. Of what ones thought those that would be in favor with God would look like. I read the word of God and I think they come in all shapes and sizes. They come from all walks of life. They come from indifference. They come from unbelief. They come from the ladies of the night. Tax collectors. Pharisees, Sadducees. God's not looking on the outside. He's looking on a heart. And I'll tell you one thing. God's looking on your heart or you wouldn't be here. So know it. Know how valuable we are to God. Now, brothers and sisters, it's accomplished by grace. That's how our testimony is accomplished. That is the power of a testimony of a life of Christ, is the grace of God that's with you. It's the good fight of faith. This isn't a religious factory. This is real. This is God taking his vessels, his earthly vessels. Once again, vessels that most would just cast away. That righteous man would just scoff at. But yet God says, that's my choice. I'm going to tell you, I'll challenge anybody to show me in the Word of God that that wasn't always his choice. He always chose the less of the least. He never chose the ones that thought they were faithful. Matter of fact, he always chose the ones that knew they were blind. Amen? You've got to recognize you're blind to be able to see. If you want to grow in the Lord, you've got to recognize your need for mercy. Always. That's the heart he'll work with. Those that came to a knowledge of him but yet came proud in themselves, those were the ones like the church of Galatia. Having begun in the spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Who hath bewitched you? And I know some of my brethren that are preaching that today. Because they followed their self-righteousness instead of following the word of God. Let's finish this up. From the head to the toe, that precious body of Christ. Parts seen, parts hidden, parts comely, parts not so comely. But every single joint so necessary. My joy, your joy. My crown, your crown. Amen? Do we see that in one another when we come in? I believe it. See it more and more. Hallelujah. All those different Gentile brides popping right up in front of us. And they're all different, aren't they? As we read about the Tamar and the Ruth. One's like Abishag. Oh my, one's like Rahab. Zipporah. All those ones that were typed and shadowed in such beautiful ways. Rebecca. I love it. But the one constant. They all had a heart that moved. When they saw it was for them, they took it. No matter what someone else said, no matter what someone else thought about them, no matter even what they thought of themselves. They didn't delay. They said, this is mine, I'm taking it.
Amen.
I'm taking it. Now, that's how unique it is. Know this, that the supplying comes through one thing. One thing, as this body is supplied, this love that Paul is talking about. It comes by yielding to grace and loving his mercy. It's not of your works. It's the work of Jesus Christ in my life. What is that work? By the grace of God, enduring hardness as good soldiers. By the grace of God, it's being spiritual and restoring one another. By the grace of God, it's each and every one of us arising from failure and arising from disappointment and arising from hurts and giving God the glory for his resurrection power for every one of those risings in our life, that we don't get puffed up. I've seen people that have received a mighty healing of God and somehow it puffed them up. Let me tell you something. The enemy's always there to try to get you into self-righteousness. He'll do anything he can. Anything. By the grace of God, that bent knee needs to be all the time. Praise the Lord. I thank God. I even, as he ministers to you through this old junky vessel, and I mean it like that, it's so sweet as he'll give me sweet thought, but I know it's his. But I also smile and think, oh, Lord, I can see that, oh, wretched man that I am. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord. My joy, my crown, he says one more time. Stand fast, my dearly beloved. Paul, I see him standing there, almost taking the place of a king. Just stand there. Be still. Let me see your beauty. I like to stand over there and just look. Matter of fact, as I get to bring forth the word of God, just to see you. Sometimes he gives me a vision. But I will tell you, stand fast. That's what he says here. There's no doing, there's no toiling. Just stand, withstand, and having done all, to stand. I was looking at those pretty beautiful track racks. There's nothing to change. You have the whole counsel of God. Be thankful. Stay in it. Stand. Withstand. Having done all to stand. I see the vision as the Lord brings us to this close of those beautiful pillars, as it says of those Philadelphia believers, the pillars in the house of the Lord. They just stand. And it is an amazing thing. I told you, as I went through Europe and saw all of those different churches and cathedrals, and my, oh my, they were building one in every little town. And they are quite structures in each of those towns in Italy. It's amazing. There are works of art so tremendous, even these broken down little towns, but that little cathedral, oh my, built. Some of them 900, 1200, 1400, pristine. And everybody comes in there and they're all looking up at the ceiling and they're all looking at all of the paintings and all the different decorations. And I remember my eyes just went right to the pillars each time we'd come in. Sometimes the ceilings were real elaborate. Sometimes the walls were decorated real nice. Sometimes those pillars didn't look like much. But they just stood there. They lifted up the whole thing. Attached to the foundation. They weren't going anywhere without that. But they just stood. Holding it up. not being noticed very much, but just standing in the gap. Like Abishag, like an Esther, huh? That all stand, all they had to do was stand before the king. And oh, how he was ravished. Oh, honey, just stand there, give me heat. Paul said it like this, the good pleasure of his will. All a king can say when he sees that is, I'm yours. I want you, my wife. And in that, as we know, that's our Lord. By the grace of God, that's in the heart of those that follow Paul as he followed Christ. See, most Christians don't even understand this, because they don't grow up. They don't grow fully up in this love that Paul's speaking of. And I'll tell you, Brother Hill used to talk about that peach all the time. Well, I couldn't even begin to tell you about this peach. The flavor, the delight. And how did I ever get to taste it? But you know it. Amen. And that's what this is. And it draws us more and more all the time, doesn't it? It's amazing. And that's why he ends it, my dearly beloved. My dearly beloved. It's kind of nice to settle down in marriage, isn't it? Praise the Lord. And oh, we have a husband, don't we? And you know what? He takes care of everything. Everything. And all I want to do is to rest in how he takes care of everything. And then it says that his heart even trusts in me. It's a good night, praise God. It's a good night. Maybe this will be the night, huh? Praise his name. Stand and be dismissed.